have your Bibles, I want you to grab them. We're going to continue looking at our study this morning on how to be led by the Spirit of God. And we're going to start out this morning in Romans chapter 12. So if you will turn there. I still believe that this is a very, very, very important lesson. There are a lot of God's people that are born again, saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, love God with all of their heart, go to church every Sunday, but have not learned how to hear God and be led by the Spirit of God. Therefore, we make a lot of bad decisions. We end up in a lot of bad places that we normally wouldn't want it to end up in. But when we learn how to hear from God and learn how to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God on the inside of us, God's desire is for us to hit the target every single time. God does not desire for you and I to live by chance. You know, we're not living by let's figure this out today, and then if it doesn't work today, we'll change and do something tomorrow. Well, no, God wants us to know exactly what to do and when to do it. Now, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, notice these two scriptures here. How does God lead us? Does God lead us through our souls? Does God lead us through how we feel in our bodies? Or does God lead us by our spirits? Well, according to this scripture here, Paul says that we're to present our bodies, according to verse 1. You and I, we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. So if we are to present our bodies, then obviously God isn't leading us through our bodies because he's requiring us to bring our bodies as a sacrifice to him. So God does not lead you through your physical body. All right. Now, we've looked at all of this for the last couple of weeks. I'm just touching on a few things before we head on into what we want to deal with on today. So we are not to be led by our bodies. We are to present our bodies unto God, a living sacrifice. Verse 2 says that we are not to be, obviously, we're not to be led by our minds, because it says our minds need to be renewed through the Word of God. So you should not be seeking direction from how you feel, that's your body, or what you think about things, or how you perceive things in your mind. Because if your mind is not renewed, then your perception of reality may be off. Let me tell you something about your mind and your thinking. When it comes to your soulish man, your mind is only going to be as strong as the information that's in it. So if it has a lot of bad information in it, then all you are going to get out of it is a lot of bad information. All right. So God does not lead you through your physical bodies. You present them unto God as a living sacrifice. God does not lead you through your mind, your mental capacity, through your emotions and your feelings. You are to renew your mind so that your mind will be in line with the Word of God. Well, that only leaves one other area left that we haven't really gotten into that we're going to talk about today. That is your spirit. God talks to us. All spiritual operation, everything that we learn, everything that we receive, everything that God says to us comes through by our spirit. All spiritual operation happens in your spirit. Everything that God does, everything that you do with God, you will receive through your spirit. And we're going to look at this on today. All right. Now, the question would be, if that's true, because can you truly trust your spirit? And I'm going to say, yes, you can this morning. And when we get through with this section of this study, you'll see why God leads you through your spirit. All right. Now, let's look here once again at Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, we've read this already, but I want to read it once again. And God said in verse 26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over all the fish of the sea, over all the fowl of the air, and over all the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his image and after his likeness. Well, what is the image and likeness of God? What is God like? Well, John says God is a spirit. So if God is a spirit and we are created in the image and the likeness of God, the real us, the man on the inside, the true you, is a spiritual being. because it's created in the image and in the likeness of God. So you are a spirit. Now, we know that this is talking about Adam. And God formed Adam's body from the dust of the ground, and he spoke or breathed into him the breath of life. And the Bible says that Adam became a living being. Original Hebrew there says he became another speaking spirit just like God. Now, the scriptures also go on to say that God and Adam had regular fellowship. It says that they walked and talked in the coolness of the day, didn't it? And in this fellowship that God and Adam had, there was never any problem. God was able to speak and direct and talk to Adam, and Adam was able to speak and talk with God, and they had perfect union and perfect fellowship. All right. So as they walked and talked in the coolness of the day, God communicated with Adam. Adam communicated with God. But we also know the story. Adam broke one of God's original commands, was not to eat from the tree. And Adam ate from that particular tree, and something happened. All right. Now, here's what we're needing to see. And I'm going to walk us through this. I said we're going to look at this step by step. Something happened at that point. All right. And I know that something happens from the reading of the Bible, because the Bible says that the very next time that it came time for a fellowship, the Bible says that Adam went and hid himself because he was afraid. He wasn't afraid of talking to God prior to this. So what has happened now to where he is afraid of God who's trying to approach him? Well, I'm going to, and you can go through this and do the study for yourself, but Adam had been dealing with God spirit to spirit. He was receiving revelation from God spirit to spirit, because God dealt with Adam through his spirit, and that's how they fellowship. But something has happened now, and Adam has been forced now, for the first time, he is not being able to communicate with God spiritually, but he's been forced to have to deal with God through his senses and his mental capacity. Because he says, I heard God. Up until this point, he wasn't afraid when God came in the garden, but all of a sudden, he's now hearing God for the first time like this, in this capacity, and he's not quite sure what's going to happen. He doesn't know. Because he know he's violated God, and something has changed, and now this is a whole new experience that he's having with God, and he's not quite sure what's going to happen. So the Bible said that he hid himself from God because he was afraid. Now, this is what you and I need to understand, because this change that happened in Adam, it also showed up in all of us as well. Adam was the very first individual to be born again. He was born from life unto death. All right, we're going to look at this. So now we know that something happened. Now let's go and see what that something was, and let's identify it. Because when you understand what happened to Adam and what Jesus undid, then you will fully understand, you can trust and rely upon your spirit where God is. All right. Now, let's look at Romans chapter 5. We're going to walk right up through this. What happened? Because something happened, and it changed the relationship. It changed the way man was dealing, or the way Adam was dealing with God at this time. Now, in Romans chapter 5, let's look at verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So now, wherefore, by this one man, we're talking about Adam, it says sin entered into the world. Satan did not introduce sin into this earth. Adam did. The scripture just said it. Through Adam's rebellion, through Adam's disobedience, through Adam's treason, sin entered into this world, and as a result of sin, death now exists. That's what it says. Sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Well, Adam has now sinned, and now death is a result because of sin. Now, what is death? We know it could not be talking about he died, because he continued to live for hundreds of years. So that's not what happened. What happened was, there was a separation in spirit. Adam actually died spiritually. Death lodged in there. There was a breach in there. And now Adam now has to deal with God from a mental standpoint and a physical standpoint only, because spiritually the connection is broken. All right. So now it says that death came as a result of sin, and this death, this error that Adam caused was passed on to every individual born after him. It would be the same thing as if you had a radio. I don't care how beautiful this radio is. It could be absolutely polished. It's a wonderful radio, well put together, but the transmitter wiring inside is not functioning correctly. It's broken. So it makes no difference how much transmissions are being transmitted through the air and how beautiful the radio is, if the receiver on the inside is not properly connected, you are not going to pick up any communications. Well, when Adam died spiritually, the receiver, which is the spirit, was broken. All right. So no matter how much communications now there are, no matter how great the desire God has to communicate with Adam spiritually, he can no longer do it because it is now broke. All right. Death has lodged in there. Now, let's continue to look at this. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, stand 5. Let's look at verse 19. And it says, so as by one man's disobedience, as Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners. My Amplified Bible says, because of what Adam did, many, or mankind, were constructed sinners. Everybody born after Adam is born with that breach in their spirit. It came, it's through Adam that this spiritual death has been passed on. So all of us in this room, when we were born of our mother, we were born after the likeness of Adam, and we were born with that breach and spiritual breach, which means we were born spiritually dead, and there was no connector to God to receive from God the way God originally intended on us fellowshipping with him. All right. Now, we're talking about being led by the Spirit of God. So now God is forced to have to deal with mankind through their senses and through their mental capacity. But that's only going to be as good as they understand what God is saying to them. So that's why God had to put prophets and all these different people in the Bible, in the Old Testament, just so that he can still have some means to get his people to where they need to be. But that wasn't God's original intent. All right. Because as long as there's a human being involved in it, there is a chance that something could end up in error because it's not coming directly from God. That means I had to go and ask you what was God said. If you were a prophet, I had to show up and get direction from you. I couldn't get direction from God because there was no mechanism in me to get it. All right. Now, we'll get into how the prophet and all that comes in a little later, but right now I'm trying to get you to see that everybody, I don't care how good you are, how wonderful of a person you are, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this spiritual error is still in your life. You're not hearing from God the way God intended on you hearing. You're getting secondhand information, all right? So it says that because of Adam's disobedience, many were constructed, built, sinners. We were born sinners. All right. We could not undo that on our own. Now, let's also go ahead and look over here. Romans chapter 8. Now, what does this mean? We were built sinners, constructed, or because of Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners. Well, what was the result of being made a sinner? Well, let's look here at chapter 8. And I want to show you something concerning this. John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus is teaching here. Now, notice what he says. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Now, according to scripture, and we're going to look at all this here as we go, Adam actually disconnected from God. And when he disconnected from God, he connected to Satan, who is death. All right. So now the information that he's processing, he's having to try to process it through this new nature that he has picked up, because he's lost the nature of God on the inside. So he's having to decipher now between two different bodies of information. Where at first, all he was receiving was God. He walked and talked in the coolness of day. God talked to him. God instructed him. God led him. God gave him information. There was no contamination. There was no reason for him to have to do or believe anything else. But now through disobedience, death has lodged in, and he's unplugged from God, and he's plugged in to something else. And this spirit now that he's plugged into is going to be what every individual born after him is plugged into until it gets undone. All right. So Jesus now is explaining what happened. He says, you are of your father, the devil. So spiritually, everybody born after Adam spiritually was plugged into Satan, and Satan was their Lord. All right. Let's continue to look at this a little bit deeper here. 1 John chapter 3. The scriptures make it very clear. This is why you have to be born again. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 8. And let me read it from the Amplified Bible. It says, he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil. Now, here's what it means for Satan to be your father. You are of the devil. Takes his character from the evil one. From the devil has sinned, violated the divine law from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was made manifest or visible was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the work that Satan had done through Adam's disobedience. So now every individual that's born after Adam is born now plugged into Satan. And the Bible says that you get your character, that the character of Satan was now man's character. Or we could, another way we could say that was his nature. So the nature of Satan is lodged in every individual who's not born again. Now, you know, that may be hard for a lot of people to swallow, but it's absolutely true according to the Bible. That's why things go on the way that they go on. That's why people do. That's, you know, it's true. Take a little bitty baby who does not even know anything about sin yet. And they already understand certain things as they grow up on how to rebel, how to deceive. And if you watch them, all those little things are already in there. Where are they learning from? They ain't learning from nobody. It's part of their nature. It's part of their nature. They can't help it, just like you couldn't help it. Now, for those that are unsaved, not born again, when they say, I just couldn't help it, they're telling you the truth. It's just who they are. But no, as the scripture says here, this is why Jesus had to come, so that he could undo what Satan had done through Adam's disobedience. So now we see this, that Jesus says that you are of your father, the devil. And we understand now what that statement meant. It means you have his character, and then and his desires you will do. Now, also, let's just look at a few more scriptures concerning this. Let's look at Ephesians and Ephesians chapter 2. We're talking about learning how to be led by the Spirit of God. And until you understand what happened to your spirit and why you had to be born again, you may or may not trust what your spirit is saying to you. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, Verse 1 says, and you has he quickened, or you has he made alive, who was dead, slain by your own trespasses and sin. Now, notice verse 2 and 3. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible as well. In which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and the fashion of this world. That's why Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, change it. You were under the sway and tendencies of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still works consistently, in the sons of disobedience. The careless, the rebellious, the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. Among these, we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passion of our flesh, our behaviors governed by our corrupt sensual natures, obeying the impulses of the flesh and of the thoughts and of the mind. We were then by nature, children of God's wrath. Who is God's wrath directed at? It's not directed at people. It's directed at the devil. But the Bible says we were by nature objects of God's wrath. In other words, if the devil was lodged in us, then we had the devil's nature. All of us in here. This is why you don't trust your body, and this is why you don't trust your mind, because until your mind is renewed, it's still going off the old information that it used to believe. And your body is just out of control because however many years you lived in the world, you trained your body to that, and your body is accustomed to those like passions and those appetites. So you have to take and do what the word of God said on last week. You have to make your body become subject to the word of God. And you have to take the word of God and renew your mind. But none of that happens until your spirit man has once again been infused with the spiritual strength that it needs to do that. And that only can come from God. So we see here that Adam blew it, and through Adam's disobedience, sin came into the world and death. Separation from God is what death is. So all of us were born separated from God because of Adam. And nobody in this room, no human being, you are not an independent individual on your own. You were designed to have a spiritual overlord. Now, it's only two that exist, God and the devil. You are plugged into one of them. And if you're born again, you're plugged into God. And if you're not, you're plugged into the devil. And there is no other way to put that. It's just that clear. It's no gray area. It's black and it's white. All right. Now, God sent Jesus to undo that. That's why the Bible calls him the last Adam. It says that scripture back over Romans says, so death through Adam's disobedience, many were constructed sinners, but through the obedience of the last Adam, Jesus, many have now been reconstructed as righteousness. All right. One was built one way by disobedience of one man. You could not undo it in your own strength and in your own power. Every individual, I got to get us to understand this because this is going to take us to where we're going. Every individual, I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how pretty you are or how rich you are. If you're still unsaved, if you're not born again, you are spiritually dead and you are plugged in to Satan. Period. All right. But once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the breach gets fixed. All right. Now, let's look here at John chapter 3. This is talking about a man by the name of Nicodemus, and he had a question. He came and to talk to Jesus. Verse 1 says, and there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, notice Jesus's response to what he just said. Because Jesus is being led by the Spirit of God. He was not born of the seed of a man. He was born of the seed of the Word of God. Remember, Mary said to the angel, "Be it to me according to thy word." And she conceived. But that was the only immaculate conception that the Bible records. There isn't another one. So everybody else is born of the seed of a man. Therefore, the sin of Adam is passed on. All right. But Jesus, born of God, is still plugged into God. And God, through his able to communicate with Jesus, told Jesus, I believe he revealed to Jesus exactly what Nicodemus was asking. Because Nicodemus asked a whole, if we read that just from the way that it's written there, the response Jesus gave doesn't make good sense. He didn't come asking about the kingdom of God or asking about none of it. He just says, hey, we believe that you're a teacher. We believe God is, hey, God has to be with you because nobody can do this. But notice the response Jesus gave back. He said unto him, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus' response was, Nicodemus, what you see me doing, you're trying to understand, because basically what Nicodemus is trying to understand, how can you do what you do? And Jesus explains to him, if you are born again, then you will be able to comprehend and understand exactly who I am and how I do what I do. You can be led by the Spirit of God just like me. All right? But you can't be led by the Spirit of God, or you can't see the kingdom of God, or you can't be involved with the kingdom of God unless you are born again. Herein is why the Bible is absolutely against saved and unsaved people being in covenant together. Whether it's marriage, whether it's business, whatever it is, because one person is going to be able to hear from God and the other person is not, and it's going to cause problems. All right? Especially in America, in a marriage covenant. One nature in the unsaved individual and one nature in the saved individual is going to cause problems. It's going to cause problems because eventually those two natures are going to clash because they're going in two different directions. Now, so God says you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. Nicodemus went on and says, how can I be born a second time? You know, I'm already born. I'm an old man. Can I go back into my mother's womb and do this all over again? See, he didn't have no understanding what Jesus was saying. And then verse 6, Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, that is physical and is limited. And that's all it can do is physical. But that is born of the spirit is spirit. So there is a physical birth. That's what you had when you're from your mother and your father. But that birth came with an error, spiritual death. But the Bible says that God sent Jesus to undo what Satan had done through Adam's disobedience. So Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection gives us the opportunity to be born again. All right. So if you have accepted Jesus, your Lord and Savior, you've had two births. You actually got two birthdays. One of them you need to forget about and think about the one that you got when you got with Jesus. Because that's the one that's going to count. All right. So now you are born again. You are spiritually alive again. And just like Adam and God walked in the coolness of the day and received communication one to another, the transmitter has been repaired. Now I can hear from God and I can talk to God. I don't have to go get in the booth to have somebody talk to God for me. Not when you're born again. God's desire has always been to talk to you directly. God does not want to talk to you. He doesn't desire to have to talk to you through a second and third party. That's never been his desire. That's not the way he created things, was it? Nope. He created to talk to Adam himself. God wants to talk to you himself. Because if he talks to you directly, if he leads you directly, then there is no chance for there to be error in there. But if he has to talk to you through me, I may get it wrong. Now, I'm not going to try to get it wrong, but I may get it wrong. But when I can go and sit down and communicate with God, when I train my spirit to listen to God, then I can get it directly from God. And I can know what to do, and you can know what to do every single time. So now, born again. What is this born again business? How do we get born again? Well, that's where Acts 2, verse 38 comes in. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he preached. And the Bible says that the Jews that were there got mad and angry, says, well, what must we do to get saved? Then how do we get this born again business going on? And he told them, repent and be baptized, every last single one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So now how many of us in here has repented and accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Then you born again. There was a spiritual rebirth that took place on the inside of you. It didn't change your mind. It didn't change your body, but it changed your spirit. You have a new nature on the inside. And the nature that's on the inside desires God, loves God, wants God, and it hates evil. That's why when you get born again, the stuff that you used to do doesn't feel as comfortable anymore. Why? Because the new you on the inside now, that it's almost, I don't know if you can understand the feeling, but you know, you just get this weird, eerie, crawling, creepy feeling on the inside. Well, that's letting you know your spirit is a born again believer, and we don't agree with that. Get away from that. But the problem with most of God's people is because they don't understand what's going on the inside of them. They override that. They let their mind override it, their body override it. And you override it long enough, you can still learn to become comfortable in sin, even though you're born again. You can train yourself. It can be done. And you accepted Jesus, your Lord and Savior, and you really meant it. But you didn't get in a church that was going to teach you how to live for God and how to recognize what happened. See, you still looking at your flesh and your body, and you still look at your mind, and then you start struggling. Well, why do I feel this? Well, I must not be saved. It ain't got nothing to do with you must not be saved. No, you got to get that mind renewed so that you'll know what happened on the inside. So now, Jesus says you have to be born again. Peter teaches on in verse Acts chapter 2, verse 38, how that's done. All right. Now that you've accepted Jesus and now that you are born again, notice what Jesus says happens. Look at John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 38 says, he that believes on me, as the scriptures have said. And every one of us in here that accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the only way you could do that is by believing what the scriptures have said about him. So we've believed on him as the scriptures have said. Notice the benefit of doing that. Out of his belly, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now that word belly there is referring to out of your spirit shall flow rivers of living water. And then he goes on and says, by this he meant the Holy Spirit. So out of your spirit shall flow the giftings, the abilities, the strength, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Comes out of your spirit now that you're born again. Now, the question that I asked when we first started, can you trust your spirit? We after today, you're going to realize, yes, you can trust what your spirit is saying to you. So now we're born again. Out of our bellies are flowing. There are rivers Fruit of the Spirit is in those rivers. Wisdom is in those rivers. The blessing is in those rivers. Everything that all the operation of God is in those rivers. And notice those rivers don't flow from out of your mind. Those rivers don't flow from out of your body. They flow from out of your spirit. Now, why is it that they're flowing from our spirit and not our minds and not our bodies? All right. Let's look also here. Let's just keep on building our case here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm just building here because I'm headed somewhere and I'm going to get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now you're born again. You got that old spirit of death, that old satanic nature out of there. You got a new nature in there, new spirit in there. God has recreated in you a brand new spirit. He didn't patch up the old one. He didn't. If you notice, you can read from Genesis to Revelations and you will never find anywhere in there where it says God renewed your spirit. To renew and to recreate are two different things. To renew means to renovate. It's the same house. We just renovated it. But notice it says through the obedience of Jesus, many were constructed. To construct something means it's a brand new structure altogether. So your spirit is not a patched up spirit of the old man patched up. No, the old thing is gone, completely dissolved, ripped out of there. And God rebirthed in you just the same way that Jesus was created in Mary's womb. Through the word of God, you got a brand new spirit in there. Your spirit is brand new. It came directly from God. Matter of fact, I don't have time to get into it, but it came in exactly the way Adam's spirit came into him before he sinned, when God created him. All right. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says this, verse 21. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. When you got born again, the Spirit of God moved in. Moved in where? In your spirit. And the Bible here says when he moved in, God stamped a seal on it. He's in there. You belong to God. You have God's seal of approval on you. In your spirit, man. And your spirit, man, God has moved inside with you. That is the whole revelation of the New Testament. And when we get it, how powerful our lives will become. That we are no longer now having to deal with God based on our mental capacities or our senses. We can now deal with God based on spirit to spirit. I can hear God and I can follow God and I should know God just like God knows me, spirit to spirit. Now, so there's a seal. God says the Spirit, he's given us his spirit in our spirits, and there's been a seal placed there. All right. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean God's spirit has moved into our spirit? This is why I like the Bible. The Bible teaches its own self. I don't have to make up anything. Let's just go on over. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What does that mean? That he's given me the earnest of his spirit in my heart. What does that mean? Well, let's see here. What does the scripture say it means? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, but he that has joined unto the Lord is one spirit. The Amplified Bible says, but the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. In here, the real you, the spirit man that has now once again been united to the Lord through rebirth, the Bible says you become one spirit with him. Your spirit and God's spirit have joined. Where? On the inside. This is why you can trust your spirit. It's why your spirit doesn't want to do anything that doesn't resemble the Holy Spirit. They're one. Your spirit doesn't like sinning. Your spirit doesn't like cheating. That's why you feel horribly bad when you do wrong. Why? Because your spirit and God's spirit have united and become one spirit, and God doesn't like evil. And if you'll learn how to listen to the leadings of your spirit man, you will stay out of trouble. This is why we're in this study. It's not that God's people don't want to live right. There are several things that have happened. They got saved because they wanted to change. That's the only reason people get up. That's the only reason a person comes to Jesus. I want something different. I'm fed up with this. That's the reason you came in the first place. But you just showed up to the race when that happens. Just getting born again, all you've done was just show up for the race. You haven't begun anything yet. You've been given the necessary equipment to run the race, but you haven't started running yet. What you do after you get born again. And this is where error comes in with God's people. Because God's people are more interested in finding a church that's comfortable. Social club. Who's not going to really bother me or ruffle my feathers. And the very thing you need is a church that's going to teach you the word of God and it ruffle your feathers. That's the very thing you need. Because why do you need that? Because your mind is already programmed to do one thing. But what your mind has learned through the world is wrong, and it's been jacking you up all this time. That's why you got saved. So why do you get born again and still want to follow the same old mess that was getting you messed up in the first place? This is why you need a church going to teach you what the book says, how to do what the Bible says, because until your mind is renewed, you're still going to make the same dumb mistakes you made before you got saved, although you are full of God and your spirit and God's spirit are one. Because God doesn't lead you through your mind or your body. He leads you through your spirit until you learn how to follow your spirit, until you learn the strength and the power that's flowing through your spirit. You won't listen to it. Gave you guys the example. You having a financial issue. You go and ask God, what do I do? God starts dealing with your spirit and says, the next time you go here, I want you to sow that. But when your mind is not renewed, your mind says, that's dumb because I don't have any money now. Why would I give my money away? So then what do? You disregard the information that came out of your spirit because you don't deem your spirit truth. Because you don't understand what happened in there. It wasn't a good suggestion. That was the Holy Ghost had just given some wisdom off, and your spirit picked it up, sent it up to your mind. But because your mind was not renewed according to the word of God, you disregard it. And you do that in every area of life until you learn how to hear God. We have to learn how to hear God, people. Aren't you tired of making the same mistake over and over and over? God expects for you to win. Did we get born again to still fail? Did we get born again to still be defeated? No, God wants you to win.
Thank you. Glory to God.
You're supposed to win.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
You're not supposed to be struggling through life. Hard times. God says the Holy Spirit is a what? Comforter. He was sent to help you make life comfortable. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and that you may enjoy the life that you have. So if you're not enjoying life, if life is not being made comfortable, now don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you don't have problems, but when you learn how to listen to your spirit, you have the answer to the problem, life's still comfortable. God wants you to win, but we have to learn how to win. So now anyone who's united, anyone who's received Jesus and made the union, made the connection, a rebirth has took place on the inside of you. And this new rebirth that has taken place on the inside of you has made you and the Holy Spirit one. All right. You're one. Now, let's look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. So there's a condition. If any man is in Christ. So if you're not in Christ, this doesn't apply to you. This is why you need to quit trying to tell all your unsaved loved ones and relatives, make right confessions and it's going to be all right. Why don't you stop talking? Come on, all this stuff. Come on, that's just a mental ascension and it don't mean a hill of beans because their nature is still to sin. If any man be in Christ. See, what you need to tell your unsaved loved ones, quit talking to them about making a wrong confession. No, you need to talk to them about confessing Jesus Lord. Let's get that fixed first. Now we can talk about the other stuff. That's like you trying to tell the fireplace, give me some heat without putting some wood in it. That's ridiculous. So if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The Bible says a brand new, the Amplified says a brand new species of being that never existed before. Why? Because there was spiritual death there at first. Now, God's in there. The old, the Amplified Bible says the old moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Well, what was the old moral and spiritual condition? It was the condition of death, the nature of Satan. It says it's passed away. Behold, the fresh and new spiritual condition has come. And all things now are of God. So when you are in, if you're in Christ Jesus, the old spiritual condition no longer exists. The new and fresh has come, and the things of this new and fresh spiritual condition, they are of God. Can I trust my spirit? Yes, because my spirit and God's spirit, they run together. They're on the same page. And if it's coming up out of my spirit, it is of God, because God is in my spirit. See, your spirit is not going to tell you anything wrong. Why? It has better information than that now. Before you got born again, ain't no telling what you're going to get. But now that I know that I'm born again and God is in there, my spirit is going to tell me exactly what the Holy Spirit said to say. Because he draws his information from God. Now, this new life that we have, and the Bible says all things are of God. This new life, this new spiritual life that we're living is powerful. Honestly, you have received, when you were born again, you received everything you need to win at the game of life. You are perfectly equipped to succeed. Notice, sin didn't enter into the world through Satan. It came in through Adam. So if Adam, being a man, introduced it, now that you've been put back in right position with God, you have the power now through God to put it back down. It has nothing to do with the devil. Satan didn't get it in here. He had to do it through Adam. And even more so, the Bible says God has stripped Satan, because when Adam bowed sin, he actually turned over things to death to the devil. But when Jesus was raised from the dead, didn't the Bible says he came up and he says, all power, both in heaven and earth, has been given unto me. I have it now. I have the keys of hell and death. Jesus conquered it all. So the power to succeed is in the Holy Spirit who's in you. So you should succeed. You should know what to do, when to do, and where to do every single time when we learn how to listen. Now, what is the importance of this new life? We're still building. Got a few more minutes here. Ephesians chapter 2. This new life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And because I'm running out of time, I'm going to read it also from the Amplified Bible. It says, for we are God's own handiwork. Now, let's stop there for a second. Handiwork. Handiwork deals with a craftsman. Someone who sits down and meticulously puts things together. And it says that we are God's own handiwork. Hold your finger right there. And I'm getting ready to read a scripture for you that maybe you've read it before and maybe you haven't. But it's a wonderful scripture to know this in the Bible. Hold your finger right there and go with me to Psalms 139. Because we're coming right back to Ephesians, but I just want you to see this. Handiwork. What is he talking about, his handiwork? Are you in Psalms 139? This should end all of the arguments you have with yourself about how unworthy you are, how you are good for nothing, and you're just pitiful. Notice what this scripture says. Verse 16, also from the Amplified Bible, says, this is what God is saying. This is what God thinks about you. It says, your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book, all the days of my life were written before they ever took shape. When as yet there was none of them, how precious and weighty also are your thoughts to me, O God, how vast is the sum of them. So don't tell me that God doesn't have a plan for your life. And you can go back up and read down. There's some more good stuff up there. I just want to read that one. You are here by design. You were born to live in this generation. And there is purpose in you. And God wants you to fulfill your purpose. And you are the happiest person when you're doing that. But you don't figure that out and you don't get involved in it the way God wants you to without him being. It says that he has it written down in his book. He knows everything that you want to get, that he needs for you to get done. And he knows you're going to love it when you do it because you were designed to do it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We're God's own handiwork. He saw our unformed substance. He knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are his own handiwork. But notice, we had to be recreated in Christ Jesus. God never changed his plan because of what Adam did. Recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, born again. Now, why were we recreated? Why were we born again? that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us. There are things that God has planned for you. Taking paths which he prearranged ahead of time. If God prearranged paths for us to take ahead of time, then we need to know where those paths are, don't we? How do you get there? He has to do the leading and the guiding. You don't find them out on your own. You find them out through God. You're not just wandering aimlessly through life, haphazardly, and just happen up on something. No, God has a plan for each and every one of us. And there is a destination that he has already pre-described for you to arrive at. And it's a wonderful place. When you listen to God and you're led by God. Everything that has been wrong, all the wrong things in your life that are messed up, they're messed up because we try to figure it out and do it and make sense of it on our own. Every issue that you're dealing with right now that's catastrophe in your life is a catastrophe because you tried to make sense of it and figure it out on your own. You didn't ask God anything. But you look at those areas in your life that are flowing. And I guarantee you those are the areas that you set out and took the time to find out and God got some direction from God. And that's why they're working, because God told you where the path was. There are paths out there, people. And God expects for you to take them. That's why you've been born again, so that the connection with God can be remade, so that you can be led by God and make the right decision every time. And it's a wonderful life when you get on the right path. How do I know? Well, what does the very next verse say? It says, taking the paths which he prearranged ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So the life that you are seeking, the good life that you're seeking is on the path. But you don't find the path without God. And you don't get God without being born again. So now that you're born again, you have God. Now that you have God, you ought to be asking God about the path. And when you get on the right path, you will start to enjoy life. It's just that simple. It's not hard. You just have to train to listen to God. How much time do I have left? Now, you don't find the path based on how you think, how you feel, what they said. I don't care if the world's greatest prophet stood in this room and told you. I'm going to take it up a notch from there. I don't care if Jesus walked in this room and stood here and told you something. If it doesn't line up with that book, disregard it. Now, Jesus is not going to come in here and say anything that don't line up with that book. But I'm trying to get you to see to the degree that you should follow this book. God says that he has the strength and the power to live in agreement with God is found in the words of God. How was life released into existence? Through his word. Upholding all things through the power of his what? Word. And I don't care who stood here and tried to tell you something. You aren't to be led by prophets. You're not to be led by visions. You're not to be led by dreams. Now, they can assist, but you should not be seeking them to find direction. If God wants you to do something, he's going to tell you. And then he may send the prophet to confirm it, but it's going to be in you first. If it's not in you and somebody come tell you something, one or two things, either you can disregard it altogether or just set it on the shelf until God confirms it in you. This is how people get messed up. Where Prophet Bobo said, and I'm supposed to be an evangelist, and so now you don't got your Bible off the shelf, and you're going to be an evangelist, and God has never been more one time told you to go be an evangelist. Now you're out here wondering why, won't nobody let me come speak, and everybody, and it's just hard. That's because you listen to the wrong person. You're being led by everything else other than God. Well, I'm tired of living in this shotgun house. I'm going to get me a new house. And you went and bought you a new house. Because somebody told you, you know, you got this good program down here, and you come on, get in on this good program, and then, hey, girl, get you a house. Man, come on, get you a house. And so you went on down and got the good program, got the house, and now you're struggling. Don't know what's going on. Why? Because you didn't go talk to God about house. God knows how, I've said this, God knows how to lead you through the next level of transition comfortably. You don't have to struggle from one place in life to the next. God knows how to give you information that'll take you right on through there. And when God does it, there's no struggle in it. When are we going to learn to go talk to God about things? So on the path that God has for us, if we'll learn to listen and follow him down them, we'll live the good life. Now, I want to read this last portion of scriptures here, and we'll be done for today. So now, you can trust your spirit. Why? Because your spirit and God's spirit are one. There's a seal there. And God is speaking to you through your spirit. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Every spiritual operation, everything that you receive from God is going to come via your spirit. It's going to come through the spirit. It's not going to come through the mind. It's not going to come through the body. It's going to come up out of your spirit. And if you're trained to listen, how successful your life will become. Now, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. It says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the candle. Now, we would say the light bulb. The spirit of man is the place that God brings about illumination from, out of your spirit. God uses your spirit to illuminate you. What I mean by illuminate, to provide revelation and direction, he uses your spirit. Everything that you read in the Bible, it talks about God doing it through your spirit, not your mind. Your spirit will teach your mind if you'll let it. James chapter 1 says that your soul has to be saved. It says, but the word that's been engrafted within your spirit contains the power to save your soul. So now, your spirit is God's illuminator. How this work actually works, you ask a question to God, who's in you? He's the Holy Ghost. And what happens as your Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, of your spirit, releases the answer, your spirit picks up on it and ships it up. Up where? It's trying to send some illumination up to your mind so that you can operate on it. But when your mind is not renewed, 99.9% of the time what we do is we say, that's stupid and it doesn't make sense and we don't listen to it. But it was the very answer that you needed. Also, look at Psalms chapter 18. It says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Psalms chapter 18, verse 28 from the Amplified Bible says, for you, talking about God, You cause my lamp to be lightened and to shine. The Lord illuminates, or God illuminates my darkness. How does God cause your light or your lamp or your candle to shine? Because the Holy Spirit is in there. And he is always trying to illuminate the dark areas of your life. And when I'm talking about the dark areas of your life, I'm talking about the areas where you don't know what to do, where you don't have information, where you still may be deceived. The Spirit of God in you, through your spirit, is trying to illuminate your life. And if you are letting, notice the result. For the Lord, my God, illuminates my darkness, for by you, God, through you, because you've illuminated my darkness, for by you, I can run through a troop, and by my God, I can leap over a wall. Now, what is that saying? A troop would be an obstacle set before you, trying to block you from something, correct? When the Holy Spirit is illuminating you, it makes no difference how many people line up against you. You have better information than they do. If the whole world be against me, I know you're still for me. Isn't that what the Word of God says? So through God's illumination coming out of your spirit, you can break through any obstacle that Satan tries to put up before you. And then it also says, and by my God, I can leap over any wall. What is a wall? It's containment. If you'll let the Spirit of God direct your life, there is no one or nothing that will be able to contain you on the face of this earth. Don't matter. He proved that in the life of Joseph. He proved that in the life of Jacob. Didn't he? Jacob said, okay, let's go down here. Being led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God told Jacob. God told Jacob, do not go into Egypt like your father. Stay right here. He stayed right there because of for God's direction. And the Bible says that he started going and dealing with the wells that his father had dug. Here comes the troops. Here comes the containment. They got jealous, plugged up his wells, took some of the wells from him, told him to get out of here and go somewhere else. And every time he go to a new place, get another well, they come take that one. He go over here, get another well, come take that one. Get over here, get another well, come take that one. No matter what they did to Jacob, they could never contain him. He still ended up increasing. He still ended up multiplying. He became so big that the king and his secretary of defense had to come make a covenant with Jacob just to survive. What about Joseph? Put him in a hole. Can't hold him. Make him a slave. Can't keep him down. Throw him in the federal penitentiary. No big deal. He still ended up being second in command in Egypt. When you learn how to listen to God. Now, we're in a much better condition and position than Jacob or Joseph, because they had to receive things from God out here. And God could only deal with them to a certain degree, but he always had to deal with them from the outside in. We have God on the inside. While your head's laying on your pillow at night, the Holy Ghost is talking to you. While you're driving down the street in the car, the Holy Spirit is directing your life. When you're sitting in the chair getting ready to make a deal, the Holy Spirit is talking to you. When you're walking down the mall deciding which store to go in, the Holy Spirit's talking to you. When you're getting ready to pick up a certain piece of something and that's something that you shouldn't pick up, the Holy Spirit's talking to you. There are times that the Holy Spirit will say to you, don't buy this right now. It's not that he doesn't want you to have it, but the Holy Spirit may say, don't buy this right now. Hold off. I'll rebuke you in the name of Jesus and buy it anyway. And then next week, a catastrophe, you needed that money. Now here you are, Lord, I need. He told you last week, don't buy that. Hold off. See, we got to learn how to trust God. It's not that he's trying to keep something from you. God is always trying to make your life easier. And it would be a whole lot easier to say, okay, I'll wait and buy it later. So when this happens, the Holy Spirit knows it's coming. When this happens, you're still in position. Oh, I got the money. Let's take care of that. Get it taken care of and then go on next week and buy your thing. And it's a whole lot. That's a whole lot easier than being over here after something's broke down and now you're trying to believe in the repair money when you had it and the Holy Spirit said don't buy it. And now here you sit here saying, man, God, I wish I hadn't bought that. He told you not to buy it. Just how simple little things are, and we miss them. We miss them. Because we don't know how to follow the leadings and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. All right? Now that we set all of this in order, we know that we should not follow our souls nor our bodies, but that our spirit is the instrument that God is using and God is working through to get us where we need to be. Now, we've looked at all of this. So now I'm ready now to start teaching you how to listen to the leadings of your spirit. Because now you know you can trust your spirit. Now we need to know what to listen for. What are we listening to hear now? We know how to do it. We know what we should do. Now we're going to find out what to listen for. Because God has a preset way that he deals with all of us. And it's all through the scripture. But we've missed it. Simply because we've just not been looking for it. But I believe God is trying to teach us this lesson. Because God is fed up with us making mistakes. No, God's trying to wrap this thing up. He's trying to send the rapture. Therefore, he needs his church to begin to do what he says his church is supposed to do. But his church is going to have to learn how to listen to do the things that God says we're supposed to do. The world is going to miss us when we're gone. You know why? Because we're going to be the biggest, baddest thing in the valley. And they're going to know we're not here. God's not going to sneak us out the back door. They're going to know we were gone. We're gone. And they're going to wish we were still here. Not right now, they don't. Right now, they think church folks. Now, right now, they'll tell you the church folks, them is all the poor, stupid, dumb, ignorant, crazy people. That's what they think about you. Go out there and ask any intellectual, any rich person that has money and all that. They think that Christianity is for poor people, uneducated poor people. Where did they get that from? They got that from the church. Because the church has been following everything else other than God. Because if the church was following God, listening like we're supposed to do, then we would know we're not poor. And we would know that we are very well educated. And we would start being who God says we are. And then the world will look to us for answers like they're supposed to. You go in this Bible in the Old Testament. They didn't even have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. But everybody and everything came to them for the answer. Not anymore, but it's coming back. We are God's instrument in this earth. We are God's people. We are God's authority. We are God's spokesman. We are God's sons and daughters. We are God's representatives. We are the ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And God is directing and wants to show this earth how big, how good, how loving he is. And he cannot do it without us because we are the billboards. Now, when are we going to listen to God and let him do it? And stop making excuses why we aren't and why we haven't and why we're still stuck over here doing everything wrong and why our lives don't look any different than an unsaved individual. That is an indictment against the body of Christ. And it needs to change. And the only way it's going to change is we've got to learn how to listen to God. All right? Father, we thank you this morning in the name of Jesus for your word. Thank you for making it very simple and making it very plain. We thank you for being born again. Now, Holy Spirit, help us to understand you and to be led by you. Teach us this word and how to hear your voice and how to hear your leadings so that we can take the paths that you prearranged ahead of time, that we should walk in them, and that we can live and enjoy the good life which you prearranged and predestined for us to live and enjoy. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.